Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What time is it?
You're locked into the flagship, an Ole Miss podcast powered by College Corner.
Here we go.
One, two.
Get your daily Rebel sports fix at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com.
Welcome in to this week 12 edition of Hit That Line. I'm your host, Zach Berry. Bye week number two for the now 11th ranked Ole Miss Rebels. College football playoff rankings came out on Tuesday. Ole Miss jumps up five spots to number 11. We'll probably touch on that. We've got a split room here on the playoff. Thoughts on where Ole Miss is right now. We'll get into that when the Legal Gambling Council jumps in. But first, let's pay some bills. We are coming to you from the College Corner Studio each and every week. We come here from the College Corner Studio, three locations, Oxford, Ridgeland, Flowood. I was at the Oxford store last week when I was in town for the Georgia game. They got the Galaxy Realtree right by the door. They've got anything you could possibly need. I checked out some of the rain gear in there on Thursday when I got in, and then thought about possibly grabbing some. Thought the forecast would turn. It did not. But just so you know, if you're ever in need, College Corner's got you covered. The new one on Sisk Avenue in Oxford. Huge, huge space, 4,000 plus square feet. It's phenomenal. Scott and the folks over there take care of us, and they will take care of you. Real quick, they just added the Don't Let the Rebs Get Hot. And then Scott told me that they're working on a little something special that should be coming out soon. So I appreciate College Corner each and every week. Show is also brought to you by our good buddy Drew Moak and USA Benefits Group. He has been working around the clock as it's Medicare enrollment season. I did mine earlier this week. And if you're looking to do yours and maybe you want to switch it up, give Drew a call, 601-953-8449, or check out his website, quoteswithdrew.com. And you can earn that free quote from Mr. Moak and USA Benefits Group. All right, let's bring in the Legal Gambling Council as we've got everybody in here. Gentlemen, welcome to week 12.
Can't believe it. Say it every week, but 3 months into the season now.
Yeah, but we got two more whole months left, so.
Yeah. Let's hope the Rebels are still in it.
Look, six games? That's crazy.
I'll say this. I was hoping the forecast would change when I arrived in Oxford. It did not. And look, no disrespect. Because obviously, if it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, probably would have snagged something at College Corner. I thought it was going to be pretty bad, and I was going to be sitting in it. So I was like, I need to get something a little bit heavier. Shout out to Belk in Oxford for having a huge sale on outdoor gear. And then your boy found a 50% off coupon online and snagged a pretty nice rain jacket for $50. And I believe it was originally 175, so I was feeling pretty good. I think that was kind of the start of the weekend where I was like, yeah, this is good vibes this weekend. And we were all there.
Was it Duckhead?
It was Bass Outdoors, I think that's what it is. I'm not an outdoorsman, so I don't know if that's good or not, but it kept me dry. Easily the best Ole Miss event I've ever been to in person. I think it's now the best live sporting event I've ever been to in person. and I've been to a lot. I think it has now surpassed 2021 Ole Miss at Tennessee. And, I mean, we'll go around. I mean, just give me your thoughts. Let's start in the beginning of the game. Jackson Dart gets hurt. Austin Simmons comes in. What was everybody's mindset at that point?
You know, honestly, we were talking about it before the show. I was never worried. I know that sounds weird, but it was as if this entire stadium was willing the team. Like, I'd never been a part of an Ole Miss game or really any college football game where the entire stadium was like, we're not going to let you lose today. Like, this is going to happen.
Truthfully, there have been Ole Miss environments where just the opposite has happened, where the crowd is like, we're going to actually participate in the loss with you. Like, we're dragging you down in our misery. The Tennessee Tech, like that regional, it was the complete opposite of that against Georgia.
Dart's like an elite player, could potentially be in New York for the Heisman ceremony, and one of the all-time greats, maybe the all-time great before he's gone, at least from a college standpoint, and probably the best leader we've ever had at Ole Miss, or at least in the modern era. But Austin Simmons is so talented that when he came in, I thought, you know, I was like, well, if he could get us to midfield, and I think we had the ball maybe on the 30, I was like, if we could get a couple of first downs and be able to flip the field to pin Georgia back down, then maybe we could start playing a field position game and just slowly inch our way to the goal line and either kick field goals, just manage, just don't lose it for us, dude. And so, but he comes out and he has that, you could tell he's juiced up, but, and no pun intended, that ball he threw to Juice Wells almost goes out of bounds, but Juice makes a great catch, stays in bounds. I'm surprised they didn't review it. They didn't have a single review, y'all. In the whole,
it was such a pleasant game to watch.
And no fake injuries. Maybe that's been part of it too. But our games have lasted so long, and Saturday really didn't.
I mean, they had some misses, but it was pretty damn close to a perfectly officiated game. Yeah, like, pretty damn close.
Correct. And there was, I think there was only 9 total penalties. Is that? Mm-hmm. It was 5-4. Like, that's pretty good. It's those games where it was LSU played a game. I don't remember who it was against earlier in the year. It was like 27 penalties. 27 penalties. There's only like 150 plays in a game.
I mean, the only like every seventh play that I had a major problem with, in retrospect, who cares? We won. Was the bullshit bailout holding, defensive holding on Saunders?
Oh my gosh!
After Beck threw the ball like 15 yards behind him, and we still got the holding call on that. Like, that was, technically, it's probably holding, but like the ball was not catchable. It was completely behind him. I know that's a DPI thing, not holding, but y'all get my point. Like, we didn't impede him making a play. It had nothing to do with the play.
He wasn't even throwing it to.
Exactly.
I can't remember if it was Delp or Lucky, but whoever it was didn't even attempt to run a route. They just ran into John Saunders and then just kind of shuffled their feet.
Yeah.
That should have been a
good call.
The only other, and this is a minor missed call because we ended up getting out of it, but it was like the play that's kind of gone viral on Twitter of how loud it was and they had to call the timeout.
Yeah.
That was a delay game. You can see it on, if you're watching on the TV broadcast, the clock goes to zero. And you can see in the very top corner, then Kirby's foot steps in to call the timeout like 2 seconds after the clock hit zero.
Yeah.
It didn't matter because we got them, but it could have mattered because I think it was 3rd and 4, and it would have made 3rd and 9, probably a big difference. It ended up not mattering. But I mean, other than that, I mean, I'm
in sure that same vein, holes, but there were a couple of holds on Georgia that they just didn't call. One on Suntaron, he bull rushed the right tackle. They tackled him in the backfield. Even McElroy said missed that one, should have called it. Another one, it's on the season. I sent y'all a video of it, of Xavier Harris getting literally tackled. It doesn't matter because Jared Ivey sacks him or Umami Allen, but either way, I mean, it's like our guy, it was a jailbreak every snap.
Every snap, yeah.
Seriously.
You know.
Yeah, no, I felt the same way when Simmons came in, man. It was less anxiety and more just eagerness. Like, I was eager to see how Simmons was going to handle it, how he was going to respond, and then how our defense was going to respond to have his back. Because, frankly, I was prepared to not score on that drive, and I thought we'd be okay. Even if we didn't score on that drive, just let the drive end in a punt.
Yeah, don't turn it over.
Yes. Exactly, and let our defense work. Yeah. And it felt like everybody in the stadium felt the same way. Mm-hmm. Like everybody in the stadium was just kind of okay with it.
Part of it too is like, we're not like, we didn't see Dart break his leg. Mm-hmm. And like most people probably were aware that he went to the locker room and he was hobbled, but Dart does that a lot. I don't know what he's taking back there in the locker room. He's taking a shot that it's pretty numb, but we didn't see him get carted off. I think if he like got carted off and like, you know, the Chad Kelly, what happened to him over the weekend, like I think things might have been different, but most people were just like next man up. And but we knew the defense was going to keep us in it. I mean, I guess we could have gotten shut out and lost 10-0. But I think most people thought defense going to keep us in it. It's a long four quarters. And then Dart comes back out. I mean, we score just before you can even, like, the anxiety can even build up, too.
Yeah.
We also had great play calling on that Simmons drive. The play to the fourth and one to Caden Lee, where he sends him in motion in the backfield. And then he runs like a – I don't even know what they call that route. But he hit him as like a angled out and then back over the middle. We attacked.
Like a halfback angle, basically.
Like an angle. That's right. And and we started in the backfield. He sent him in motion. And we ran the tight end, Daquan Wright, that we ran him on a short crossing route to clear it out. And then in that left Lee one-on-one, it just happened to be Georgia's best defender. But, I mean, good luck covering him in that type of play. He's just too quick.
That's a great call out, because on a day when a couple of narratives I think were maybe finally put to bed, one being, you know, Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss can't win the big one, and the second being that you can't build a roster through the portal to compete with the likes of Alabama and Georgia, I do think it's interesting that the two people you just called out, Austin Simmons and Caden Lee, high school kids. Suntarian Perkins had one of the biggest games of his career, high school kid. So maybe we just have found a good fucking balance between portal
and Xavier Harris.
Xavier Harris, high school kid.
I know Pegues is a transfer, but that dude was gone for a year.
Right. And Jared Bobby's been here 3 years, and Pegues has been here multiple years. So I don't know. On a day again where narratives were sort of, it was a tough day for narratives. Just keep in mind, like Caden Lee had some of the biggest catches all game, and he's a high school guy.
Yeah, I kept coming back to when, you know, I couldn't really see in the replay, but it didn't really look like Dart was that hobbled. And it just kind of watching it live, it didn't look like he got rolled up super hard. So I was like, you know, they're probably going to take him in, do a quick x-ray just to double check. And then, you know, do what they do in there. Comes out, he's all good. But yeah, when Simmons came out and it was clear that Dart was not going to play that series, I was kind of talking to my buddy next to me. I just kind of said, you know, with the defense Ole Miss has, it's okay. Because I think Nick just said it, or maybe it was Ben, that, hey, maybe you don't score there, but the Ole Miss defense was still going to be lights out. And I mean, outside of the short field, and Georgia had to earn it. Had to get it on fourth down and barely got in the end zone there. I mean, Nate Frazier was just almost short. But, man, after that, I mean, it was just a complete mauling. I mean, Ole Miss basically just brought forward the entire game and whipped Georgia.
A mauling that could have been worse. Say rather than kicking field goals on, I don't know, two of those drives, we punch in touchdowns. Yeah. I mean, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, that's probably the least amount of points we could have beat them by.
Yeah,
Saturday.
I mean, really should have been 28-3. I mean, I guess maybe 28-6, give them a field goal, but I don't want to get like hyperbolic and, you know, we could lose one of these next two games, we get left out of the playoff, we could lose in the first round of the playoff, whatever. But I think if we do something, you know, go to the quarters, go to the semis, go to the finals, something crazy this year, I think we'll look back fondly. Like, again, I hate to be hyperbolic, for the rest of our lives at that drive. Like, I'll remember that Austin Simmons drive is going to be like the thing that spurred us to it. And we'll remember that one forever. And that drive will go down in history as like what turned the season around. Again, unless
potentially, like you said, job's not done. Potentially, though, most important drive in Ole Miss football history.
Yeah. It's the start of the championship DVD, as they always say, right? I mean, it like we'll remember that drive specifically in that game.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty
really win or lose in the next 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Because like We'll still remember the Georgia game. We still remember the Bama game in 14. We didn't do anything that year. Yeah. So we're going to remember this Georgia game. We're going to remember that drive.
Yeah. And you mentioned no reviews, no holding penalties. The offensive line was pretty lights out. I mean,
did we have any offensive penalties?
They look like a different unit. I don't know, Ben.
I don't think so.
I'm trying to think if
there I don't think we had an offensive penalty.
I don't think so. The one that, Nick, we were talking about earlier this week, the drive of the game was when Georgia got the punt down at the one, inside the one.
Yeah.
And I couldn't tell. I tried to watch it on SkyCast. I don't think it hit the pylon, but it was really close.
Yeah. I did live. I don't – on replay, I think it bounced right at just at the pylon and just checked up. And
sucked, I was right there in that end zone in the South Club. And, I mean, from my angle, I thought maybe. But then I was like, well, if it hit the pylon, it would have knocked it over. But those two throws, both of those, the slant to Jordan Watkins, and then he hit him again on like a deep slant, like an over route to get to midfield. Mm-hmm. Both of those throws, I mean, Dart had plenty of time.
Mm-hmm. He had tons of time on that first down. He just – ball was wet. He just slung it in there short. I can't remember who it was to, if it was to Wright or it might have been to Lee again. But, I mean, he had plenty of time on the first down. We don't get it. We don't get anything on second down. We get that on first down. Two plays, we're back at midfield, and then we end up kicking a field goal. That, like, we were up 13-7 at the time. They would have had the ball at midfield or better. Would have been a three-point game probably, or even we're trailing. Next thing you know, we're up 16-7. Those two drives. I mean, obviously the Simmons drive's more memorable because it's back up, but that one with Dart was huge. And he had, like you said, he had all day. The offensive line just looked like a totally different. I don't understand it. I really don't.
Where has that been? Yeah. No, and look, it may take time to gel. I get it with new pieces. And here's the other thing. We should have probably said this going into the game, and the thought occurred to me afterward. I think we probably benefited from having seen what Georgia put on tape against Texas and Sark.
Oh, yeah.
Because Kiffin and Sark's offensive philosophy is probably very similar, their approach. I think we probably spent a lot of time on that game, that film, and that prepared our O-line for, you know, everything Georgia threw at us.
Yeah, outside of, you know, not punching it in on a couple of them, it's a pretty well-called game on both sides. I thought that Pete Golding and the defensive staff made some really quick adjustments. A couple times when Georgia would hit a throw, get a good, you know, run between the tackles, they showed some wrinkles with some reverses. One thing that I thought was hasn't been talked about enough, a lot of the throws that were completed by Carson Beck, there's an Ole Miss DB right there draped all over the wide receiver several times. So it was pretty tight coverage. I mean, Georgia had to earn it. But, can't say enough about pretty much everything top to bottom. The atmosphere, fans, play calling.
Dude, the other low-key MVP, special teams unit in general, both sides, punting and field goal team and coverage units. I mean, exceptional all day.
Yeah. It was, Kane Davis, 5 field goals, great snaps, great holds in the rain.
Slips on one kickoff. Otherwise, he would have put every kickoff out of the end zone.
And it was the best kickoff of the day.
Because the coverage unit, like, pins them deep. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, pretty much sets up Ole Miss now. And we can go ahead and flip over to playoff talk here. I think that this win, with how dominant it was, kind of negates the Kentucky loss. I think LSU on the road, overtime, whatever. That's not going to hurt you. The Kentucky game, it's a head scratcher, but I think this dominant win over Georgia, the timing of it, I think Ole Miss is in a really good spot now. You finish 10-2, and after that, you just look up and see, you know, what's going on when the dust settles. I think everything's going to kind of work itself out. I mean, this season has just been nuts already. And I think that there are going to be teams that are going to lose, and there's going to be some teams that get to a conference championship game and lose. And I think that those, we've seen it last year when Georgia lost the SEC championship and they got bounced. So there are going to be some teams where that happens. I don't know. I think I know a lot's made about the 11 spot. It's not great. You'd obviously like to be higher, but I think Ole Miss just went out, and I think that you're good.
Ben, do you have any thoughts on that?
I only caught most of it. I think that there's like a – I'd put our odds and make it the playoff at like 75%.
Okay. Earlier, Ben was
offline. No. That I don't – I want it to be 95%.
Yeah. I do too.
I thought that if we had been ranked – I know this is just one spot away.
I know.
But I thought had we been ranked 10th, it would be in the 90 to 95.
It'd be 95%.
Yeah.
I thought we deserved 10. Frankly, look, I thought we deserved 10. I thought Georgia deserved to stay, like, in the hunt, like, in at 11.
Yeah. My only thing, just like I'm looking at it, and I've said this like five different times, but if you look at it, it's very other than Indiana and BYU, who they clearly don't love. I mean, Indiana's got the 91st toughest schedule. I think BYU is like 66. They clearly don't love their schedules thus far. It's very stratified. It's the unbeatens, it's the one loss teams, it's the two loss teams. And if you, I just, a lot of people were saying like, oh, this kind of showed what the committee thought of the of Ole Miss because they dropped Georgia so far. I just think they dropped them to the front of the two loss, and then at the sitting at the front of the two loss queue, so to speak, was Bama. Well, they lost to Bama. We got to drop them one more. Next in line's Ole Miss. Oh, we got to drop them one more. I just think that's where it is. And yeah, I think we probably should have like jumped Miami, but I mean, that's going to work itself out because they're either winning the ACC or they're not. I just don't think. I think the ACC and the Big 12 are getting one in, even if BYU runs the table and loses in the conference title game.
Even if SMU runs the table?
Yeah, I think – well, yeah, because Miami's going to beat SMU in the conference championship
game. Yeah.
Yeah, but would SMU be a one-loss team?
Going into the championship game, they would be.
Yeah.
They've already lost the game?
Yeah, yeah, they lost to BYU at the very beginning of the season by like three or six.
I remember that. It was like 18-15. I think we picked that game, actually.
Yeah, it was a very close – I mean, it was ugly. Who knew that we were watching, you know, two CFP contenders, but – I don't know. There's some doomsday scenarios, and I don't even want to get into them. It shakes me in my core. Texas A&M beating Texas, that's very bad. And then LSU getting their way into the SEC title game. They can't beat Bama. They can't beat Georgia. But those Texas schools, I wouldn't trust either one of them against LSU. I don't even want to think about it.
I know. Because here's the thing, man. And it's starting to, I think, finally penetrate maybe – into the wider world, but SEC fans, I think, have been sort of privately grousing about it on our message boards for a minute. Texas continues to be buoyed by what? Their brand? The name, the logo?
The Longhorn.
Oh, yeah. It's the logo.
They haven't beaten anybody.
It's the weakest SEC schedule a computer could make.
And like, their best win is what? Vandy?
Who is not. I mean, Vandy at the time was playing okay football. Vandy's, I mean, at this point, if they played Kentucky, it would be a good football game. They're give out. Pavia's, he's done. He's shot his wad. Like,
I just think it sucks that conversation is sort of off the table at this point because of how high Texas is ranked. Like, we're not going to have a conversation about Texas being 10. We're just not. Like, they've gone too long at like a top three, top four, you know, status. The reality is, I don't know how good Texas is, honestly. I don't know. I don't think they're bad. They're not like an 8-4 team, but I'm like, are they the cream of the crop?
They're 8-4 in a standard SEC West season.
They might be.
I mean, imagine if Texas played Alabama, LSU, Ole Miss, A&M, all in, you know, in a conference schedule, and then caught like Georgia, South Carolina from the East.
Mm-hmm. Their schedule was ridiculous. I would give anything for them to have played LSU, for them to have played us, for them to have played South Carolina. I mean, any of these like mid-tier SEC teams.
I think they can beat A&M. Like, I don't think A&M's very good either.
That game worries me with its place on the schedule. It's at A&M. Like the game of the – they've played them in a decade. It's going to be crazy.
A&M does not have a good quarterback. Like, Marcel Reed was a cute story against LSU.
Right. Yeah.
But Texas is better on defense than LSU is. And they've now seen Reed in two separate games. So I'm assuming it's going to be Wegman again. And I don't trust him to beat Texas, man. Like, all of our worries are washed away if Texas beats A&M. Like, I don't – that one result, I think, is like our – you know, I guess there's a couple other even if Texas wins, but I think that
– You know the one that I think everybody's ignoring and downplaying? Like, or even – not even discussing. Like, y'all are going to laugh at it. I'm just telling you. A&M goes to Auburn next week.
No. I'm on that. Auburn Jesus.
That'd be great. I'd say that. I
mean, we've seen crazy shit happen at Auburn over the years. Crazy. To better teams than A&M, by the way.
And I'll give Freeze a little credit. I don't think he's a total moron. And I don't think he circled the Bama game. I think that's a level of hubris that even Freeze can't achieve.
Yeah.
I think. That he has a circle A game that you can point to at the end of the season, like as proof of concept. Texas A&M at home, Bama on the road, not that game.
Yeah,
Texas A&M at home is the game.
I just feel like that number is probably going to be under a touchdown, right? It'll be 3.5 A&M, 3 A&M.
I was going to say 5, but yeah, it'll definitely be below 7.
I mean, can they score enough?
If they don't fucking turn it over every other drive like they have all season. If he just hands the ball to Jarquez Hunter like 50 times, plays defense, hangs around to the fourth, and let Auburn Jesus take over, we got a shot.
Look, we can get in. I'll give y'all my first money line of the week while we're doing this. Some hopeful outcomes here. This is a lot more hopeful than
you're going to Arkansas.
I am.
I'm locking Texas. They're not doing it. What's that money line? It's got to be like
3-6. Oh, it's got to be huge. I've not even seen it. They're like 16-point dogs.
It's even bigger than 350.
That's where they started. But that line has been one way.
It's 13.5. It's four. Yeah. It's plus 400.
One way traffic all week on Arkansas.
Yeah. Yeah, because people are hearing the. But I mean, 13.5 is still a lot of points.
It is, but.
Plus 400.
Oh, yeah. Arkansas plus 400. I'm going to lock the other way, by the way. I'm locking UT 13. I know they gave up against us, and this is not a team they're going to give up against.
They didn't. I went back and listened to your rant about how Arkansas was going to beat Ole Miss.
I didn't know. I had no idea. This is a material change. They quit mid-game.
They didn't give up. We beat them unconscious. Like
we did. We did.
They've had some time to recover, though.
They have. And if there's one game they care about, it's UT. I mean, that's obvious. They beat them up there in 21. They beat them in 14, I think. Last two times they played in Fayetteville. So.
You're locking in Texas?
Yeah. They're going to – Arkansas is not going to score. Offense is putrid.
Does Texas play next week also, or are they off before A&M?
I think it's Texas.
Like a no-name football. School?
Yeah.
Yeah, they may have a nine-con.
Because they're 8-1, so I know they've got another game. They play Kentucky, yes, a no name school.
Non-con, yeah, basically.
Yeah, that's what a schedule. They played Mississippi State, Oklahoma, Georgia, Vanderbilt, Florida, Arkansas, Kentucky, and A&M.
Kentucky has quit, sort of.
But they were flirting
with beating Tennessee.
Nick nailed it, though, in his description of Kentucky against Tennessee. Kentucky did what they always do, except against us. They hang tight, they play close, and then they just fucking lose. That's what they do.
They play really good and then lose. And that's their thing. And they didn't against us, unfortunately. I mean, I wish they had played that same, you know, game plan against us. We'd be chilling right now at the number 2 spot, by the way.
Yeah.
Just
Yeah, Stoops should try to win some of those would be my advice to him. Like, try to play close, hang tight, and then win occasionally.
I would never speak again about the Kentucky loss if they beat Texas next week. I'll tell you that. Just Mark Stoops, if you're listening, I will let you off the hook if you beat Texas.
I mean, last time Texas went to Fayetteville, what happened? That's what I keep coming back to.
They got clapped last time.
Mm-hmm. I was letting everybody finish. I think this is going to be a weird game. I think Texas is still kind of shell-shocked from Georgia. I know Texas beat the brakes off Florida, but, I mean, Florida was the quarterback for Florida, you know, might as well be a cashier at Aldi. I mean, the dude is terrible. I might circle back on this one. I'm not going to go money line, but I do think Petrino can scheme this one up a little bit and make it interesting. And Texas is all of a sudden, you know, we've already talked about the schedule. I mean, it's a joke. And we talked about it a couple weeks ago, how Texas just got like the most cupcake first year schedule in the SEC, and Oklahoma just got murderer's row. Yeah. I'm gonna come back on it, but I do think it's gonna be weird.
Arkansas had a bye week. This could be a week where Pittman goes in there and he's like, "All right, boys," you know, he talks, "This is gonna be my last year, and I'm just gonna tell y'all before we go out there, you know." And then, like, this is his, like, swan song. He goes out, beats Texas, finishes the year. They go to, like, the Music City Bowl or whatever, and then they hire the next guy.
People are saying he's done
either way. Me a cold beer or whatever he says.
Like a win one for the Gipper type game?
Yeah.
Could be. I mean, I think the team likes Sam Pittman.
Yeah. He's an easy guy to like. I don't know that he's a great head coach.
I mean, I like him a lot. I think he'd be a great offensive line coach if Ole Miss is looking for one. But
the rumor is he's going to like retire for medical reasons.
He's made enough money. He can just chill. Yeah.
Who did he replace?
Chad.
Was it Chad Morris?
Chad Morris,
wasn't it?
Was there anything between Chad Morris and Pittman? I don't think so.
Good pod.
I felt that he said Chad Morris. Huh? Yeah, because he's been there.
If he went Bolino. Yeah, because
he got hired the same year as Kiffin.
Yeah, he did.
Surely he didn't follow Chad Morris.
Chad Morris, yeah, he did. Barry Lunny was the interim.
Yeah,
it was worse because you had Petrino was there for 3 years, then John L. Smith for one,
and they sucked for a while, man.
They have
Paul Rhodes was the interim after Bielema, then Chad Morris for a couple years, then Sam.
So,
that feels like forever ago.
Talked to some people who went up there, and several people, and they felt like it. They said it feels so small time. Like a game there, that it does not feel like a typical SEC game. The pregame leading up to it and in the stadium, talking about Arkansas, they're like, it does not feel the same as when you go to other places, including Oxford. Now, I know they've got a decent sized stadium, but it's just not the same. I've never been.
I think it's twofold. I mean, the game was at 11 and they're not very good. And there was 8,000 empty seats. I mean, that definitely hurt. Like anytime a game's at 11 and you're not good, it's like a double whammy. And truthfully, I'm not saying they're wrong, but as Ole Miss fans, we haven't been to many 11 o'clock away games in a while. I think we forget what it feels like. And we haven't played one since 2019.
Nobody has them. We're the only one that has them. So that's
seriously, that's
Georgia. Why, we never play Georgia.
Yeah. And so I don't think we like, I think we forget what it feels like to have an 11 o'clock game that's like a snooze fest, because that's what that was. And also, they don't really have a big tailgating scene around the stadium. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, no matter if you go to Bama, of course, Bama's Bama, but if you go to Bama, huge tailgating around the stadium. It's always going to feel similar. Same with LSU, no matter what. Same with Ole Miss, no matter what. Even same with Mississippi State. And if they suck, the Junction is still right there. We always play over there at night. It still is going to feel like a big – it didn't, man. It really felt like a really large Vanderbilt game. You know what I mean? It's like you're just walking, and all of a sudden there's like a stadium, and you just like you played football.
Kind of wild to looking back at these coaches. Houston Nutt was SEC Coach of the Year twice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And looking at the wins and
losses.
What does
that say about the SEC coaches? Good Lord.
Houston Nutt, 75-48 at Arkansas. And then Brett Bielema was just 29-33. I would have thought that was better.
Yeah, that's surprising.
He had a bad first year.
He slayed us every time we played him.
Yeah. The thing with Houston Nutt, though, 42-38 in conference play. That's what ended up getting him. But, dude, looking
Houston
at –
Houston Nutt also had three franchise NFL backs on the same team.
Yeah, I mean –
For 3 years.
And he had a couple of really good quarterbacks.
Matt Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Broyles won a national championship at Arkansas. And then after him, Arkansas had Lou Holtz, who went 60-21 and 37-18 in the conference. And then obviously Lou Holtz leaves and goes to Minnesota for a couple of years, and then goes to Notre Dame. Rest is history, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, it's like after that and then the brief Petrino, like it's just been gross. All right. Enough about Arkansas. I'm going to go ahead in honor of the 8-1 Cougars. I'm laying – 12.5 with Wazoo at New Mexico. Don't care. I mean, probably the story that's one of the better stories no one's talking about because they don't have a conference and it sucks for Wazoo, but that Mateer kid is still putting up numbers and there's still a lot of fun. I like Wazoo to get it done against the Lobos on the road.
Quick question, and I know we're probably not well-versed in Washington State and New Mexico, but other than the fact that they beat San Diego State last week, and I guess they have extra day of rest going into this game, why is this line as close as it is? I mean, New Mexico's beaten New Mexico State, Air Force, Utah State. They're all teams that are terrible. They lost by 26 to Auburn. They lost by 22 to Arizona. Like, they're bad at football. I don't understand why this line's so close.
I think Wazoo's home road splits are pretty dramatic. Yeah. I think they play on the Palouse. They put up 50. I think they go on the road. Shit gets a little dicey.
Yeah, because on the road, looks like they've only three-point win over San Diego State. Yeah.
Lost to Boise.
Yeah,
lost to Boise. Close win against Fresno.
Yeah. Those are all decent teams, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beat Washington on the road, which is big because Washington's good at home.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's probably it. I think Austin might have nailed it.
Also, Wazoo's defense is not great. Like, Washington's defense is not great.
And they're not going to, but they are playing for a chance to potentially get ranked 11th. And getting the college football playoff. I mean, like, that's, consideration still for them, obviously.
What even is the path for Wazoo? Just everybody has to lose and then you get an at-large?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they couldn't be the fifth automatic, could they? Yeah, so they would have to be an at-large. No chance. Even still, I mean, their hope is, win out and see what happens.
I hope Wazoo goes 11-1. That would be cool.
That would be cool. All right, I've got – another one, if you guys don't mind. I'm going BYU. Is it still 2.5 or is it 3?
I see 2.5. Which one do you want?
I want 2.5 because they're winning.
Taking the points.
It's 3.
There's a reason the line's so low. It's because they don't trust BYU.
They shouldn't.
BYU losing would be great for the Ole Miss Rebels and be great for myself. And that's why BYU is going to win. They're going to win by at least a few points. I just, there's I'm something go in the water out there. Here.
I want Kansas plus
three. I get it. And Kansas is playing for a bowl after starting with the year 2-6. They're probably going to win out after these two games. But I think BYU is going to beat them. The magic's still there. Something in the water out there.
They're the luckiest team in the country.
I agree. This is a, man, I would love to be wrong. Like, I would be really happy if I was wrong. And this is why I'm betting BYU. This is an emotional hedge.
So Ben says he's going opposite you. I'm gonna jump in here, but I'm not going to pick a side between y'all. I'm going over 56.5. I just think Kansas's offense is rolling.
They're scoring, yeah.
And BYU's going to get theirs. I think BYU gets mid-30s here. I don't need much from Kansas. If BYU can give me 35. 56.5.
Yeah. Okay. The Flagship is brought to you each and every day by our good friends at LB's Meat Market. Located at 2008 University Avenue, Suite E in Oxford, Mississippi, they have the best meat in town. You need to grill out. You need to do something inside. You need to throw something in the oven. You need to put something in the crock pot. LB's Meat Market has got you covered. $10 lane train specials are still the thing every single day. And you get $2 off anything in the freezer. And now, for the first time, you can text LB's if you want to place an order for pickup. That's 662-259-2999. Give Greg and the folks a call if you have any questions, or shoot them a text if you want to go ahead and place that order for pickup. Football, baseball, basketball, LB's has got you covered. Look, we all know that Arby's, they say a lot of things, but deep down, we all know LB's has got the meats. What are the most frequently asked questions about real estate, and how do you sort it all out? Just like every other situation, you consult with a professional in the field. Stacy and Rick Berry with the Berry Home Team and Keller Williams Realty can help you make sense of it all. From interest rates, when to buy, should you wait, what type of loan is best for you, what do all of these new real estate rules even mean, and how will it affect you? As top producers in the Memphis and metro area, Stacy and Rick will be by your side through the process, whether you were buying, selling, or investing. Give them a call today and ask all the questions. 901-481-6420. That's the Berry Home Team. Keller Williams Realty.
Spark something uncommon this holiday season with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. The busy holiday season is here, folks, and Uncommon Goods makes it less stressful with incredible hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list. Gifts that spark joy, wonder, delight, and that it's exactly what I wanted feeling. They scour the globe as Uncommon Goods for original, handmade, absolutely remarkable things. Just a few of the favorite gifts I've found on Uncommon Goods include a do-it-yourself storybook kit for my niece. My daughter's got me the MLB Sunday Slugger Ceramic Ice Cream Bowl set. Love my Braves. From holiday host and hostess gifts to the coolest finds for kids, to hits from everyone from book lovers to diehard sports fans like us, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. It is the season of giving, after all. So get 15% off your next gift by going to uncommongoods.com/TOC for Talk of Champions. That's uncommongoods.com/TOC for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Ole Miss fans, Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. And if you sign up today with promo code Talk of Champions, you can get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Trust me, I've played and pitched for them all, but Prize Picks stands above the rest. Honestly, I have no idea why I waited this long. Yes, I cover the Rebels, so I've focused my picks on the MLB playoffs, including home run cash-ins on Mookie Betts and others. It's a blast, easy, and secure. Make your picks in less than 60 minutes with Prize Picks, and when they hit, you can get your money as quickly as 15 minutes. Even better, Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy. Think Justin Jefferson will get more than 83.5 yards this week? Yeah, me too. Win real money this football season with Prize Picks. Download the app today and use promo code TALKOFCHAMPIONS to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's Prize Picks and promo code TALKOFCHAMPIONS. Prize Picks, run your game.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Kansas could get it done. I know the weather is going to be dicey.
Oh, is it? Wait, what are we talking?
Chance of snow on Friday. I mean, like less than an inch. Yeah, so, like, it'll just be cold. But, yeah. I mean, it's cold in Kansas. I mean, I've been up there. I mean, in
here's the thing, December, though.
January, it's cold.
The one thing that gives me some pause about backing and over here, and would give me pause about backing Kansas, is like elevation, because Provo's up there, right? Like this is
right.
Going from Kansas to Provo is a little bit of a climb. So I would be maybe a little concerned that Kansas runs out of gas in the second half, but I think BYU is going to get mid to upper 30s by themselves. So I just need, like, you know, give me 24 out of Kansas.
Mm-hmm. I don't know where Ben went, but I'm going to go ahead and do it because this is just a principal bet here. And y'all probably going to disagree. I'm laying 10 with Georgia. I don't see any chance that Tennessee is going to Georgia after Georgia loses to Ole Miss and its back is against the wall. Josh Heupel is not beating Kirby Smart in Sanford Stadium. There is no chance. I know that the off here's what I'll say. If I keep talking about the offense, Georgia's offense is just out of sorts. Maybe Ole Miss's defense is just that fucking good, and it just wasn't gonna matter. I think James Pierce Jr. is a dog. That dude's gonna be first day NFL draft, probably gonna be in the top 10. He's gonna make a lot of money next year. I don't think Tennessee has the dudes up front and the depth that Ole Miss has. That's the key, because you know about Princely, you know about Walter Nolan, you know about Pegues, Ivy, but then you got Xavier Harris coming in there wrecking shit. And then, you know,
Kilo Stone played well.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's more than just the three or four up front. Tennessee's a good defense. I don't think they have the depth. I think Georgia's just going to grind this one out. Run the football with Nate Frazier, run the football with ETN. I think Carson Beck's going to kind of get back to homeostasis a bit at home. And look, I saw some rumblings of a blackout. I don't know if that's going to actually happen. I don't really know if it matters. I like Georgia get right spot here. And I think they might just pull Tennessee's pants down and embarrass them.
Okay.
I think too, the thing is that it would be Georgia losing consecutive games in kind of similar fashion. And I don't think Kirby's like Nick Saban. I think a lot of it's a product of Georgia boosters finally buying in big time. But I think he's a pretty good coach. And, I mean, you saw what they did against Texas. Their season is on the line. Mm-hmm. And it will be the same thing. Their O-line's not going to get wrecked two times in a row. I don't know if it'll be a pride thing out of them or if he'll scheme it differently. But I mean, those guys, you know, they get paid money too. Like, it's just not going to happen the same way twice in a row. It might, but I'd be surprised if it did.
I think Tennessee's line, D-line is very good. Mm-hmm. I do not think they are as good as Ole Miss's D-line. So I think in some ways, Georgia's offensive linemen are going to feel a little class relief here. Like, it may feel like the game slowed down a bit from last week. They're not getting eaten alive from every corner, every angle, you know, everybody in front of them, every position, every guy that comes off the bench is whipping your ass. Like, Tennessee's got some good players, as Zach mentioned. Pierce is very good. They don't have like seven good players like we do. So I think the game will slow down a bit. I think Georgia will scheme it up enough. 10 is a little rich for me, but for many of the same reasons Zach mentioned, I'm going to lock in under 48 and a half here.
Same.
Tennessee is not sniffing 20, and I don't think Georgia gets much. I mean, Georgia may get 21, 23. I think it's like 23, 10 dogs.
Like, let's say they come out, they come over, and Nico plays, and they turn him over like they did against Quinn Ewers, and they jump out early. I think they're going to pin their ears back like they did against Quinn Ewers later in the game, and that Tennessee's not scoring. So, like, exactly. Let's say Georgia gets up 28-7. I think it's finishing like 28-14 or 28-13. I was with you. I've got that written down too, under 48 and a half.
Yeah.
Man, you got anything?
Sorry. I've been coloring the sheet in from last week.
Yeah. We did not have the best week.
I went 4-4, lost both money lines. Not great, Bob.
Yeah, I don't think it was that brutal. I think it was just so, right? Like, we weren't terrible.
Yeah, it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't.
Well, Austin, what did you do? We haven't done yours. Me and I was 2-4. Zach was 2-3.
I think I went 500. I think.
Okay. Well, you know, we're still hovering. I mean, we're still up on the season.
Two of the worst beats of the season, both on Friday night. I was on both of them. God. Two of the worst beats of the season. Wake Forest.
And you had Utah. We were both on Utah.
Yeah. Yep, and then Utah money line.
I was at 27 at the half. All they got to do is get 45. They're on their seventh string quarterback. They literally had a guy come out of the stands play football for them.
No, he was literally their fifth string guy. Literally, he was playing linebacker. No, yeah,
the fifth thing wasn't a joke. Like, and then the Wake Forest, the guy falls down, and you think they're just going to run the clock out, and then they go in and punch it in. Like, two bad beats to start the weekend. And I kind of was like, oh no, it's a bad weekend. After that happened Friday night, I was like, we're in some trouble here.
You didn't even mention Cal's kicker, who's made like three field goals all year, is bombing 55 yarders against Wake. Like, can't miss.
Oh, garbage.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I think he was six on the series. He was at 50. He was at 50%, and I think he was 3 of 3, and two were over 50.
Yeah, two were over 50.
That's ridiculous.
Is Lagway healthy? Or is he playing?
I don't know if anybody knows. I haven't seen
Napier. Napier said, I read on their boards, he's practicing, but Napier said when asked, I guess, about QB run game against LSU, because LSU has obviously struggled to defend QB run. He's like, yeah, I don't think we're going to be able to do that. Even if Lagway plays, like, we're not going to have a QB run game.
So how long have we been doing this show? 4 or 5 years. Maintained a theory. Of course, it's changed a little bit with the playoff this year, but not really given this. You always want to play LSU after they lose to Alabama when they've quit. Yep. And that's what's happened. Give me Florida +4 at home, or 4.5, whatever I can get. 4.5.
And look, Ole Miss needs this. Ole Miss needs LSU to drop another SEC game.
Yeah. I think Florida – this is one of those where LSU's, it's nothing more than they got pummeled by Alabama last week at home, and they've turned on Brian Kelly, and they can't fire him because his buyout's so high and or so large. And anyway, I don't think that they're going to be ready for – I mean, I just don't think they're going to give effort like they would have. Like, the team that Ole Miss played, even though that team really wasn't that good and Ole Miss probably left 30 points on the board, that's not showing up in Gainesville on Saturday.
I like it.
Yeah. I can get you 4.5.
I think Nussmeier may be able to will them to a win, but I don't see that happening. Go ahead, Zach. Sorry.
I was saying I can get you 4.5.
Yeah, 4.5. Florida +4.5.
Florida's defense has been okay this year. Mm-hmm. And that team has shown that they will play for Napier.
Listen, I think we're like a 7 or 8 point favorite against Florida. It's not like they're not Kentucky.
They're not trash. No. They've been banged up. Obviously banged up at the most important position on the field. But if he plays and gives them, 70%, 80% of his usual effort, I think they hang around.
I'm going to go ahead and
I've got another SEC game. I can go again.
Where are you going?
13.5, South Carolina laying against Missouri at home.
Yeah. So I was just looking at the total.
Actually, I can get 13. Maybe not. No, just do 13.5. That's fine.
You can get 13. It's at 44. No, 43.5. Mm-hmm. I could see this just being South Carolina 24-10.
Yeah. I think it looks a lot like
sharp to me. Go ahead.
I think it looks a lot like South Carolina Vandy last week.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'm going to take the under. I'm going to go under.
Cook out.
Huh?
No.
The quarterback for Missouri.
Anything
the line kind of indicates it, right?
Quarterback.
I think so.
Never have time to throw. I mean,
yeah.
Well, Lance as he is.
And, dude, Missouri was fortunate as hell last week.
Oh, my God.
My goodness.
You talk about luck boxing, you're waiting to a win.
Did South Carolina play last week? Yeah, they beat Vandy. Yeah, and Missouri was in a rock fight with A&M.
They should have lost that game, or if nothing else, gone overtime. And that was
Oklahoma, like, had the ball, just go down and kick a field goal and win it. And which also, that last drive, Missouri, I mean, two of the most insane catches that I've seen this year.
Yeah.
How are they so bad with, like, probably the two most talented receivers in the SEC, maybe behind Trey Harris. Like, I mean, I say so bad, they're 8-2, but still, those two guys are unbelievable. Like, big-time, multi-year NFL guys, and their offense is just not good at all.
Yeah, they're just languishing in an offense that can't get them the ball. Yeah, if you had the under in that game.
Sounds like Pine is going to play.
It sounds like who?
I think Drew Pine's going to start.
Okay, well, yeah, this is going to be a bloodbath.
Drinkwitz said they will prepare for Drew Pine to be the starter against South Carolina. They'll know more about Brady Cook's status later in the week.
Yeah, he's not playing. Did the over bust on the last play there? You were sitting pretty for like 54 minutes.
The entire game until the last like minute and a half of gameplay. And I think there was like, was there 17 points in a minute and a half or something? Because it was a fumble six, a long touchdown, and then another fumble six, right?
Yeah, 21 points, right?
Yeah, it was something nuts. Three touchdowns. Just outrageous. Yeah.
Got to be on bad beats, yeah.
Gosh, unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right, I got a big line if you guys don't have anything else. Virginia, 22.5 at Notre Dame. Seems like an odd one. Virginia beat Pitt last week. Now, they were outclassed a couple weeks ago against North Carolina. Not really a thing you want to say betting on that team that they were outclassed against North Carolina. But they didn't lose by 22 points to Clemson. They played well against Louisville, and then they played close against Maryland. So, I mean, they've lost one game by more than that many. And Notre Dame has been beating teams badly. I don't know that you can – I don't think Notre Dame is a team that has enough strength to win, like, 8 weeks in a row by three scores or more. I just think that at some point you're going to have one of those games – you just kind of throw it in neutral and you win by 13 points. It's not all that close. I'm not saying Virginia's going to win. I think this line should have been like 17. I really think 22.5 is a pretty big – that's a lot of points for a team to just be Pitt. And, you know, they're still playing for something. I think they like Tony Elliott. And, you know, they're 5-5. They're playing for a bowl game.
Should I do it?
The money line?
Plus 1,100.
Oh, God, yeah. Hit it. It's
such – that would you talk about saving the season. That would be a bigger win than Kentucky beating Texas for us. Like that would save the season. We would be Ben's 95% in if that happened.
All right, it's on the sheet. We're doing it.
That's a half unit, by the way. We can't. Yeah. We can't let that go.
Dude, Notre Dame loses dumbass games at home all the time.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, I mean, they lost to Northern Illinois.
You absolutely cannot trust them laying a giant number like this. Like they lost to Marshall last year. They lost to Stanford. They lost.
Marshall was at home.
Yeah. When they lay these giant numbers, they lose occasionally.
Okay. Are they going to
USC next week?
2 weeks. They get Army. This is their last home game. They get Army in the Bronx and Yankee Stadium. And then
they're going to lose in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, USC is, I mean, they're 4-5. But if you look at it, they've lost just like some pretty okay teams. They whipped up on Wisconsin earlier in the year. They're not like just terrible.
They could have beaten Penn State.
Correct.
Yeah.
They
win that game.
Yeah. Yeah.
As much as I would love for it to happen, I don't think Army can do it.
They can't do it.
And this is a huge number. But UVA, like you said, they're not awful. But then, SC, absolutely. It's in the Coliseum, right?
It is.
Yeah, that could easily happen. Real quick sidebar, a buddy of mine brought this up earlier about Notre Dame. And I think it's a good point because Notre Dame is still stupid and doesn't have a conference. They should be, my buddy was saying that they should, that Notre Dame should be treated as a G5 team.
I don't disagree with that. The only problem is they would get in every year.
Every year, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, sure, but the no conference thing is so fucking dumb.
Like, that's ridiculous. Going to
conference.
Yeah.
Big it's Ten, ridiculous. ACC, what ACC for basketball? Like, just do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or do the Big Ten. Like,
I think the thing that kind of bums me out is, and maybe the committee will penalize them. That'd be great if they would. But because they're never going to get a bye, and it's only 2 years until we get a 16, but because they're never going to get a bye, that means that they're almost very often going to host a playoff game.
Yeah.
So they get their reward for not being in the conference is hosting a playoff game. That's just, I'm hopeful that they put them as the 9 seed. Hell, send them down here. That'd be great.
And if they're the 5, Nick, they get the worst conference.
Yeah. I don't think they'll give them the 5 any year just because of that. I mean, unless they're just unbeaten and ranked number 1 and they have to.
Yeah.
But I think they see that and they're going to give them the 6 or the 7.
Don't
but
underestimate. Still,
they don't serve a home game.
Don't underestimate the political pull that Notre Dame has. I mean, no, they're on NBC.
The only reason I think that wouldn't happen is because the team they're competing against would be Ohio State. Like, and I think that's like they're going to give it, or Oregon, who would have just lost to Ohio State. I think that's probably the team that's going to get the 5, if I had to guess.
A couple more I'm going to just throw out there. Utah plus 10. I just don't think Colorado's going to get it done. I think that something's going to happen.
You don't think that they're –
Utah was –
they're down off the loss last week?
That's what I'd be worried about.
This is Kyle Whittingham's last year probably. Maybe this is wish casting because I think Deion Sanders is a fucking punk. And so is everybody else in that program. Outside of Travis Hunter. Travis Hunter is cool. Everybody else sucks. I don't know, man. I think Utah can still put the paws on people. And maybe they get after Shador and force some turnovers. And then Memphis minus 14. I think Memphis has had a couple clunkers, and they've had some games that they've had to really pull out of the fire. But Silverfield's a good coach. They got a good offense. And UAB is terrible. And it's at the Liberty Hole, baby. You're not just strolling in there, battle of the bones, and beating Memphis.
I will say, after UAB made the quarterback change, they're playing Kitna's kid now, right?
Yeah.
John Kitna's kid?
He's on the kid.
Yeah, hey, do you know why he ended up at UAB?
He's on the kid word there.
I do. Yeah.
Fuck.
Kidna. Anyway.
He could be playing for Florida right now.
Wait, what was your – Utah. Dude, I don't know, man. They got their guts ripped out last week. I'd be a little worried that Utah –
They could just chalk it up to – that's just what the LDS folks wanted, man.
I mean, their AD sure has, man. This dude is on one, and that was an actual holding call. Like, it was one of those you watch and you're like, probably grabbed the jersey a little too much. And he is out here barking at post game. Maybe a $50,000 fine.
I mean, he all but said the fix was in. I mean, he all but said like,
that was awesome.
He did what Virginia Tech and whoever else lost earlier to Miami should have done. Those guys, that the fix was actually in on those games.
Yeah, wild out on those. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't be asking for five. Yeah. All right. I got a couple.
I did too. Go ahead.
The Tulane Green Wave is still alive, by the way, for the playoff push, technically. I mean, technically.
No, they're there.
Yeah, they are.
They go to Navy. Summerall has seen the triple option over the course of his career. I know Navy's not exactly the old school triple. I just think Tulane will be prepared to handle it. I think they're far superior on offense. And I think defensively they will do enough to shut Navy down. I think 7 is light here. This is light. I mean, there's not much home field advantage at Navy. So Tulane on a neutral is what?
Is it? Is it like, in Annapolis?
I think so, yeah. I know it's on the road. Tulane's a road team, so I don't know if they're playing like at some weird.
It's at the Naval Academy.
Yeah. Again, no home field advantage there. This basically is a neutral, I guess, is my point. I feel like Tulane on a neutral should be laying more than 7 to Navy. So give me Tulane.
Yeah, I'm riding there. This is actually the second one of the two I was going to pick. So I want to lay 7 there as well.
All right. The other one I got, dude, suddenly Baylor is like decent. They're on the road at West Virginia under a field goal. Give me Baylor. Former Mississippi State quarterback Sawyer Robertson's starting for Baylor now. Like, he's kind of cooking. I think Dave Aranda saved his job. So, give me the Bears on the road. I just think a field goal is short. West Virginia kind of luck boxed their way into a win. And I was on them last week, by the way, against Cincinnati. They did not deserve that win. They won outright on the road. I just think Baylor's the better team off a bye. Give me the Bears.
Real quick. Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium hosted 6 soccer matches in the 84 Summer Olympics.
That's cool.
That's a long way from LA.
all right, I've got in the Tulane theme, I am going to lay 7 with Louisiana Raging Cajuns against South Alabama. Louisiana's 8-1, and the only loss is to Tulane. And every other game they played, they have blown out their opponent. Mm-hmm. South Alabama is not the class of the Sun Belt or whatever conference they're in, like they sometimes are. This is not cute South Alabama that can go to state and win. Louisiana is the better team. I think they're on the road. I don't care. They may be at home. I can't remember. Looks like they're at home. Yeah, definitely at home laying 7. Yes. Give me the Cajuns.
I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
They're sneaky good, man. They pile up points.
More Annapolis trivia. The 2018 NHL Stadium Series was there.
Zach, did you take Adderall before the show?
Do you need to?
I was just looking at the Wikipedia. The Maple Leafs and the Caps played there in 2018.
And the Caps. The game's at Cajun Field, by the way, Ben. So I think you're okay. And we're keeping South Alabama sounding good is what I'm screaming. We're keeping on the Sun Belt theme here. A team that they're in the Sun Belt, right? All right, we're not done with fact check. ULM goes to Auburn. Auburn's looking ahead. They got it circled. They got it penciled in for Texas A&M next week. It's +24. Who is on the Auburn football team that you should be laying 24 points against a team that plays Division I football? I don't love ULM. I liked them earlier in the year against Jackson State. That was one of my locks. They've lost 3 in a row. But, I mean, this is the biggest game remaining on their schedule, right? They got whipped by Texas early in the year. I understand that. 24, this is a classic letdown spot for Auburn. They're not preparing at all for Texas A&M. And I think there could be a little bit of that New Mexico State magic. I don't think they're going to upset them by any means. But 24 is a lot of points. I mean, 42-14 and late in the game, and then ULM gets a touchdown, and they cover.
Yeah, and Peyton Thorne didn't practice last week. Now, that may actually hurt your case because, he likes to throw it to the other team. But if he doesn't play, Enfree's just going to run the ball a million times and try to get out of there with a dub.
Yeah, looking through Auburn's schedule here, I mean, they've scored – the last time they scored 24 – the last time they scored more than 24 points was against New Mexico September 14th. So – they scored 24 points against Kentucky, but that 24, all that does is push it, right? So, because it's the line's 24. They've done it twice all season against Alabama A&M and New Mexico, and I think Louisiana Monroe late in the season. It's 11:45 kick. I just think Auburn's looking ahead the next 2 weeks.
I got one more, and then I'll do money lines. Let me lay the three with Burt and the Illini. That feels short to me. Michigan State has showed signs of life throughout the year occasionally, but take a young quarterback on the road against a competent team coming off a bye. I know Illinois got their ass kicked by Oregon.
Arguably it feels like a sucker bet. It's so good.
Yeah, but this is the second time we've said that about Illinois this year.
Yeah.
You know?
And it was a sucker bet last time, wasn't it? It wasn't a sucker bet last time. Didn't they get whipped?
Yeah, we got trapped last time. So let's hope that doesn't happen again. I just think off a bye, Illinois more veteran team. I trust their – I don't know. Burt has a decent enough roster in this spot at home. He doesn't have to get margin here. Just win by three. I'm not asking him to win by 13. Just a touchdown at home feels light.
I don't think Michigan State's very good, man.
I'm
kind of down on him.
I'm going to grab Boston College SMU over 53.5. Castellanos got benched, and then now he's in the portal.
Okay, he is in the portal.
BC
officially
still put up 37-1. I think we know SMU's going to score. At home, SMU's in the playoff hunt. You have to think Rhett Lashley's going for style points. They're going to try to put up a number. I think BC can get you enough to get over the 53.5. I was thinking about taking the points, but I think SMU might whip them pretty good, and then BC maybe gets a couple garbage touchdowns to get you over the number. Still put up 37 with the backup, and I think Bill O'Brien's going to get something going on offense, but no chance Boston College wins, I don't think.
I almost locked in BC. I'm not going to.
Yeah, because my first thought was plus 17. It's a pretty big number. But I don't know. I think SMU's kind of dialed in at this point, trying to win out and get to the ACC title game.
All right, I've got another line. This is – we're going to go to Camp Randall. And yeah. – We are going to lay 14 with Oregon at Wisconsin. Every time Wisconsin's played a good team this year, they have gotten blown out. And when I say good team, I'm not talking about Oregon. I'm talking about 38-21 USC, 28-13 Penn State, 42-10 Iowa, 42-10 Alabama. Oregon is better than all of those teams. Maybe Alabama would beat Oregon on a neutral site in the playoff, but hang with me. That game was 42-10. I don't understand what is somebody for Oregon. Is Dylan Gabriel not playing? What's the deal here? Two touchdowns? Are you kidding me?
I assume they're thinking that Oregon knows it doesn't need style points at this point. That's the only rationale I can come up with. Just keep winning, and they're comfortably the number one seed.
Just like with their style of play, I don't know how they could win by 14 or less. They're just going to winning by three touchdowns.
Is there going to be weather in Madison this weekend? Let's check that.
Maybe that's it. Maybe it's going to be cold.
Let's see. Saturday
high game, right?
High of 54, low of 47, no sunny. Precip, 14-mile-an-hour wind. Not too bad.
It is a night game, so it will be cold.
Yeah.
What is
– But not like snowy.
Yeah, and it's not like Oregon is tropical. I mean, they'll be fine with 50 degrees.
It's 50 degrees there all day, every day.
Every day.
This one's kind of weird. Y'all correct me if I'm wrong here or tell me if I'm crazy. Syracuse is getting 9.5 on the road at Cal. What's up with that? I know Cal just got the first ACC win in program history, but I feel Syracuse is kind of piece it together. It's okay, like 6-3.
They're up and down.
Yeah.
I don't know what to expect from Syracuse.
Maybe this is the game where they're up because they just lost BC in a shootout. My only pause is just, man.
Crazy travel, man.
Yeah, and
that's a long way.
Justin Wilcox is going to be ready at home. It's not like it's a home field advantage, but, yeah, a lot of travel. Mm-hmm. What's the total? That might be something to look at.
Is Nebraska – go ahead.
No, you got it.
Zach's about to make a bet, then I'm going to ask a question.
No, go ahead. I'm staying away from that.
Is Nebraska football dead? Like, for good, dead?
Man.
At the beginning of the year, every year, we're like, oh, they're actually pretty decent this year. And then Indiana killed them, and they played Ohio State tough the next week. But I don't know if that's Ohio State playing with their food or what. But you look up at this time every year, and they're like 4-8. 5-4.
The UCLA loss is the one that's just inexcusable mm-hmm. in year two or whatever to lose at home to that UCLA team. You cannot lose that game.
I don't think you can recruit to Nebraska. I just don't think you can get the players there anymore.
Matt Rhule was the guy to get it done, but they're just so.
They're also.
He needs more time.
They're recruiting and I'm not meaning this in as like a white player, but they're recruiting the same player that Iowa does and that Oklahoma does to an extent. But they're not able to sign them over those programs anymore. For whatever reason.
Iowa's been the far superior program for 30 years now.
It has. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Since Osborne retired. Mm.
This oddly feels like a game that it feels like a game SC could get.
Oh, they're definitely going to get it. They're weighing 9 points.
Yeah, they're favored by almost.
I guess when I say get it, like I feel like they can put it on Nebraska.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Well, you got to think Nebraska's quit by this point. Those three losses in a row.
Just going back on Matt Rhule real quick. I kind of think the shine is off and. When they hired him, I think everyone was like, oh, this guy's a stud. And you look when he doesn't have far superior talent and he doesn't have
Robert Griffin III.
Yeah. Or someone helping him recruit Texas high school football. He's not actually very good. He was really bad with the Panthers.
And he sucked in the NFL. Exactly. Like,
that's a sign of the coaching stuff. You could say Saban's not good either, but when you go to the NFL and you all of a sudden have equal or lesser talent than teams and you're just fired mid-season, that tells me most everything I need to know.
I think we ignored something about Rhule. He seems to be a recovery specialist. He got Temple back on track, right? Put the pieces back together, made them respectable again, did the same, but then got it the hell out of Dodge, right? Did the mm-hmm. same thing at Baylor. Makes them respectable mm-hmm. again, cleans up the mess from the Browse era, the scandal, makes them respectable again, and gets the hell out of Dodge again. We've never seen him year 2, 3, 4, 5 actually sustain. I don't know that he can do that.
And he's sustaining against better teams. You can get better players at Temple than USF and then UConn and stuff and beat those teams. But you could probably do the same at Baylor. You can get better talent than TCU mm-hmm. and Texas Tech and stuff. But now when you're in Nebraska and you're having to get better talent than everybody.
Ohio State.
Iowa even. You know what I mean? You're having to go out and get better talent than all of those teams because you're starting so much further down than you are in the Big 12 and especially than you were in the AAC. So, I mean, it's a long way from Nebraska when he got there to Ohio State and Oregon, Washington last year, teams like that.
Yeah. All right. I got a couple of wild-ass money lines if y'all want me to fire on that.
Yeah, and I may be tagging one of them. I think I've got a good one here.
All right. So to start with, let's go San Jose State plus 408. All this playoff talk about Boise and where they should be ranked. I think we jumped the gun. San Jose State's competent, man. They've got a really good passing game. If they can keep
I was wrong last week on them.
if they could keep their quarterback upright, they got a chance here. Now, nobody has stopped Jeanty, really. I don't think San Jose State's going to stop him. But I think if you can get Boise into a track meet and maybe take them out of the run game for a couple of drives, I think they could be had by a team like San Jose State, who's got a competent quarterback and one of the best wide receivers in the country. So give me the Spartans, what did I say, plus 408. And another relatively large one, Cincinnati at Iowa State, plus 272 for the Bearcats. Mm-hmm. They deserved better last week. They were the better team against West Virginia. They just found a way to lose the game. I think Iowa State, the wheels are falling off now that they can't win the Big 12. I think they're officially eliminated. Maybe y'all can correct me if I'm wrong there. Their playoff path is we know that. That's over. And I don't even think they can win the Big 12 at this point, absent some crazy shit, you know, chaos. So give me Cincinnati playing as the team that's limping to the finish. At a big number, plus 272. Implied probability there, I think, is just a touch high, or low, rather. I think the Bearcats can pull it off.
I like that. I've also got, let me make sure I pull it up. Pitt is playing Clemson. They're hosting Clemson, and the money line is plus 310. I'm not in love with this Pitt team. They're playing, let me see. They started the season 7-2, and they've lost their last two games, right? I mean, at some point, they're not going to lose out, right? I don't love Clemson. This is kind of one of those games that Clemson does that the thing, like they look bad and then they look good and everyone's like, oh, Clemson team's pretty good, and then they look bad again. It's been a few weeks, right? We've kind of forgotten about Clemson losing Louisville. So Pitt plus 310.
And then maybe Clemson will completely lay down and South Carolina can roll them at the end of the year and make the Revs resume even better.
Yeah, South Carolina's gonna be around like 13 at that point.
Yeah.
Anybody you got any other money lines?
I don't have a lot of picks this week. I'm not in love with it.
Man, if you want to get a sicko little bit about,
it. I'm thinking about Wisconsin 475 as a money line.
Do it.
That sounds – is that what you were thinking?
I looked at – yeah, I mean –
that's a big number. Like,
yeah.
They're not winning, Ben. I agree. Wow.
I would expect a bigger money line than that, though. Like,
right, 600 or something.
Yeah, right.
I'm not touching that.
I'll tell you, this is not a sick money line would be like Purdue.
Yeah.
I bet they don't even have it.
I bet that. I saw Southern Miss against Texas State's plus 1600. By the way, like, to give you an idea where they are as a program,
Purdue is plus 2200 against Penn State at home.
You would be literally burning money.
What's more likely, Northwestern against Ohio State or Purdue against Penn State?
Oh, Purdue for sure.
No, it can't be found. What's the math saying? Like the it has no limit. Like there's neither one.
The limit does not exist.
The limit does not exist. Like, neither team is. That's what my problem with the Big Ten. I'm not going to talk to him for 10 minutes about it. Problem with the Big Ten is the lower class is so bad.
Yeah.
And that's all Indiana's face. Like, there's just some teams in the Big Ten that are just not beating anybody. I mean, Northwestern is awful.
They're not even competitive.
Purdue is awful. Maryland is awful. I mean, mm-hmm. Rutgers and Michigan State are pretty bad. I mean, Purdue is terrible.
UCLA for most of the season has been trash.
Nebraska,
yeah. Trash.
I mean, Michigan, like, is not very
Washington's bad. Not good.
The middle class has been bad, and then, couple teams like Purdue and Maryland are just hopeless.
Mm.
They've got a good lobby in the committee room, though, because they're like 1, 2, 4, and 5 or something?
1, 2, 4, and 5. Somebody loves them up there, man. I mean, we're lucky. Texas loses to Arkansas. They're going to be 1, 2, 3, 4 next week.
Yeah, it helps when Michigan's athletic director is the chair of the committee. That helps.
Yeah, and everyone gets to be Michigan instead of a quality win.
Yep. Quality win against 5-5 Michigan.
Trash, whatever.
Oh, if you want like real sicko, though, I'm not going to lock this in. I was going to say Sam Houston State against Kennesaw. Kennesaw fired the only coach their program has ever had last week. And like as soon as they did it, their best player on defense, their defensive tackle, who's like maybe P4 quality, hit the portal. Like he's like, fuck this, I'm out. Like they're going to get their doors blown off this week.
Oh, I thought you were saying for money line. I was like, dude, you're an idiot.
No, okay. No. I'm saying if you just want to go dumpster diving to fade Kennesaw State, like,
yeah,
Sam Houston, and they were going to blow them out.
Make no mistake, Kennesaw State was really bad before that.
Dude. Exactly.
Yes, their best players jumped in the portal. They really don't have any good players.
Yeah.
I'm going to add another money line in here. I'm going to take the Sun Devils plus 280 in the Little Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Dillingham quietly has ASU 7-2, and Cam Scadaboo and the linebacker Keyshawn Elliott are supposed to be available for this one. If you don't remember, Scadaboo like burst onto the scene early in the year, just running all over people. Kind of a throwback.
All over state.
I was going to say, I have fond memories of him running all over Mississippi State.
He's kind of a throwback, like Peyton Hillis, you know, mini guy. Like he's just an old school running back. But I mean, honestly, like they're not a terrible offense. I mean, Dillingham knows what he's doing on that side of the ball, and got a big win last week against UCF. And the Sam Levitt kid, the quarterback at ASU's, solid through three touchdowns last week. I mean they're believing over there in Tempe. So and Kansas State's just been kind of weird. They had the big win over Colorado, but I don't know. I want to add another money line, and this one's not terrible.
Their K-State style of play makes it hard for them to get margin on anybody. Like they kind of play grinders. So if you're in a, you know, low possession game,
sure,
the dog always has a shot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Who are your money lines, Austin? San Jose State and
Cincy. All
right. All right. Everybody good? Think that's it?
Yeah, this week's kind of a bummer. I hate that this is our bye week because like every game that I care about the rest of the year happens next week.
Mm-hmm.
Like I picked four games. It's terrible. I just don't have any that I can trust myself with. I almost picked Akron money line at Northern Illinois, but I can't do it.
Are they playing tonight?
Well, they're playing.
Well, they already lost, so you shouldn't do that.
Good. See, that's how much I kept up.
Maxion, baby. Maxion.
Yeah, the Maxion. The Mac games are, I feel like every game's lopsided. I don't know when the good teams play each other, but every time I turn the game, it's 31-7.
There are no good teams is the problem.
Well, I don't know when the evenly matched teams play each other, I should say. Because, like I said, every game I watch is just a beatdown.
Yeah.
State plays four times a week. They had their first lead of the season, by the way, tonight. They led 7-0.
Like for like 37.
They haven't led. It's week 10 is the latest any team's ever not led a game before.
Awesome.
They're the worst teams they've ever seen.
You were talking about fading Kennesaw State. I did control F to see if Mississippi State was playing this week to fade them, but they're on a bye.
Man, I hear their players are being tampered with. All those good players they've got. Other schools are trying to raid their roster.
Wait till they get 2-10 and then their quarterback transfers for the
record. Audacity
he's going to
for people to tamper. Yeah, where is Van Buren gonna go?
Who's tampering though with that program? Arkansas State calling kids to try to lure them over? Like which are trash ass players.
They'll pay for Van Buren to stay.
I think that I agree with that. I think the tampering is their players are calling other coaches. I don't think the
please God, away. Please.
What if Van Buren
save me?
Van Buren's from Maryland. What if, dude? What if he just was like, "I'm out. I'm transferring to Navy. I'm gonna enlist."
I'd rather go to war than get to
enlist.
Oh my God.
I'm enlisting. Well, I mean, he did go to the drill field, so I guess he was mistaken about
They're that. They're like, we don't need a quarterback. And he's like, no, I don't even want to play football. Just let me please come to Nashville.
Michael, you know if you go to school there, you have to enlist. That's fine. Get me out of here. They just keep talking about cheese down here. I don't give a shit. all right, week 12. Yeah, like Nick said, not a great slate, but I don't know. When the team that you cheer for is number 11 in the playoff rankings, 8-2, you're fresh off of a dominant win over Georgia, you can still kind of kick back and relax. So, yeah, still some good games this week. You know, and look, if you're an Ole Miss fan, this is when you kind of need to, you know, sit back, get the notepad out, and keep track of who you think needs to lose, who you think needs to win.
Go Hogs, go Gators, go Gamecocks.
Yeah. Go Hogs.
I think Bulldogs, I think you got to cheer for Georgia.
Yeah.
Because of who I am, I'm cheering for them either way. So that will do it for week 12. We'll be back next week talking about Ole Miss and Florida, as the Rebels will try to move to 9-2, an inch closer to making that college football playoff. I feel like this is a dumb question. Nick, are you going next week?
Yeah, I am going next week. I mean, it's nice that it backs up against Thanksgiving. So,
yeah, it'll be fun. We'll get a good look at Florida this week, see what if Lagway plays, see what he looks like. And then, yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. Florida loses again, maybe back on quit watch. So but that's going to do it for Hit That Line Week 12 edition. Appreciate the fellas coming on. As always, appreciate all the sponsors and you, the listener, and the watcher on YouTube for tuning in. So for Austin, for Ben, for Nick, I'm Zach. This has been Hit That Line. Talk to y'all next week. We out of here.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.